A well thought out pricing strategy is crucial for optimizing both sales volume and profit. It's surprising, therefore, according to data from the Professional Pricing Society, which is the world's largest organization that is dedicated to pricing, that fewer than 5% of Fortune 500 companies have a full-time function dedicated to pricing. Every company needs to ask itself the question, am I charging optimum prices that will generate the maximum profits for my sales? The consulting group McKinsey carried out a famous exercise that determined a price rise of 1% at an average company in the S&P 1500 index, which covers small through to large companies, would generate an 8% increase in operating profit if sales volumes stay steady. With just a 1% price increase, sales are unlikely to waver much and the extra profit flows directly into the bottom line. An 8% increase in operating profit. The leverage of price is substantial. All overhead costs have been met, and so the additional gross margin that's obtained, which is somewhere between 40% and 60%, depending on the product or service we're talking about, contributes completely to net profits. It does, of course, raise the question, why not increase prices by 5%, 10%, or even 15%, and not just 1%? Launching a new product and pitching it at the right price is critical. A price that is too high will kill sales, and a price too low will jeopardize profits. Many companies set the price of new products by looking at competitive products already on the market and make a judgment as to where the new product fits. The sales teams usually have a strong contribution in this discussion, and there's more than a possibility that they will push for a price that's relatively low on the grounds that it'll make their job easier. It is worth using independent research and tried and tested pricing tools to make sure that the optimum price is chosen. The only sure way of obtaining an accurate and realistic understanding of how price works for a new product is to carry out a test market. In other words, to create a situation where customers are exposed to real price changes with real demand pressures. However, it would still be necessary to decide on what price to launch into the test market, and in any case, test markets are expensive and difficult to organise. So for this reason, we turn to pricing models that simulate buying situations. The first one I'll talk about is called Gabor-Granger. The Gabor-Granger pricing tool is often used to establish price perceptions of new products. It was developed in the 1960s by two economists, Gabor and Granger. And the proposed new product is shown or described to target customers who are asked if they would buy it at particular prices. The prices that are presented to customers are changed, and on each occasion respondents say if they would buy or not at those prices. In theory, customers should be given random prices, but in practice, the first price they are presented with starts high and subsequent prices are lowered to see if they would buy at those lower prices. Levels of demand can be calculated at each price point. Using this estimate of demand, the price elasticity or expected revenue can be calculated, and so the optimum price point is established. The next pricing model to talk about is Van Westendorp. It's a more sophisticated variation of the Gabor-Granger technique, and it was developed by Van Westendorp. Respondents are shown or told the features and the benefits of a product, and the price sensitivity measurement is a PSM. Price sensitivity measurement tool determines the pricing options based on four questions. At what price would you consider this product to be cheap? At what price would you consider this product to be too expensive? At what price would you consider this product to be priced so cheap that you would worry about its quality? And at what price would you consider this product to be too expensive to consider buying it? And as with the Gabor-Granger tool, Van Westendorp is often used to set the price of a new product or service and can also be used for price testing existing products. Analysis of the data yields four demand curves and the various intersections on the curves describing the pricing options. So I'll talk you through a couple of these. The first is the indifference pricing point, the IPP, the indifference pricing point. This is where the number of respondents who regard the price as cheap is equal to the number of respondents who regard the price as expensive. According to Van Westendorp, this generally represents either the median price actually paid by consumers or the price of the product of an important market leader. The indifference pricing point is based on customers' experiences with price levels in the market, and it changes with market conditions. And the other intersection to think about is the optimum pricing point, the OPP. This is the price at which the number of customers who see the product as too cheap is equal to the number who see the product as too expensive. And this is typically the recommended price. Now, some things to think about with the pricing models. Establishing the price of a new product is critically important as it determines the success of the launch and the profitability of sales. The Gabor-Granger tool can be used to test concepts before prototypes are made. And once a prototype is developed and can be shown to respondents, the Van Westendorp tool is great for indicating the optimum price. Both Gabor-Granger and Van Westendorp have proved to give realistic price levels for new products, and it's worth considering launching at a slightly higher price than that which is suggested by the tool, if it is in a market that expects discounts.